You are now listening to the Legends Lingo podcast, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al and Powder.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo podcast, episode 221, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on StudentUnionSports.com, from the daily blogs to the podcasts and everything else that we are putting out for all of you loyal listeners and fans. For all those people, we say thank you. Alan Hegan here. No Tom Powder Cadmus tonight. Got caught up with work. Had to bail last second. Not bail. Bail is a bad word because he's not bailing. He let me know. But couldn't make the episode, and that's fine, Powder. We love you. We miss you. And we always treasure the moments together. And we're going to miss you this episode. No co-host tonight. It's just me. It's just Al. It's a solo episode. And this is probably going to be a pretty quick episode. Just kind of going to touch on everything that's been going on in Boston sports, give a quick opinion, and we should be out of here in about 30, 35 minutes. So let's just jump right into it. There's a lot that's going on. Celtics are still continuing their postseason push as they are, as I'm recording on Tuesday, May 9th, they are going to be playing game 5 of the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Philadelphia 76ers, in which they are tied at 2 games apiece in the series. The Boston Red Sox continue to find ways to win baseball games. Going to talk a little bit about them. Bruins still are over, and we're still trying to recover from that horrible round one collapse after winning the President's Trophy and setting all the records and everything. Just a couple quick thoughts on the offseason. And then the Patriots regular season schedule will be coming out officially on Thursday. So I'm just going to give a little preview of what I think is going to happen and what their overall record is going to be. A way too early record. But we'll do that toward the end of the show. So I'm going to start off with the Bruins, and I'm just going to get this out of the way. Obviously, the choke is still fresh in a lot of our minds, and we still can't get over the fact that this team that flat out dominated in the regular season just came up short in the first round against the Panthers. Now, the Panthers are up 3-0 in their current series against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it looks like they're going to head to the Eastern Conference Finals. And shout out to Florida. Like, they're playing well at the right time. And that just goes to show that the hot teams coming into the playoffs are usually the ones that have the most success. I hate to cross sports here, but sticking in the state of Florida, let's look at the Miami Heat. They're the 8 seed, and they're 1 game away from the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA, going back. So credit to them. But going back to hockey, the Bruins obviously had a colossal failure, but there's a lot of questions. I saw that WEEI came out with an article that said, should the Bruins trade one of their 2 goalies? No, they shouldn't. Linus Ullmark's probably going to win the Vezina. Jeremy Swayman's still a young goalie that can contribute to this, the future of this core. You know, this kind of new core that we're going to be seeing with Pastrnak and McAvoy and Lindholm. And I don't want to throw Taylor Hall in there because Taylor Hall could be on the trade market. But that younger core that's in place. And speaking of the old core, what's going to happen with Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci? I think Bergeron retires because he has put his body, he's put his blood, sweat, tears, body on the line for this Bruins team to only win 1 cup. I mean, you have to feel for the guy. He's just pure class all the way. David Krejci has made it clear it's either Bruins or retirement. So I could see him. I have him 50-50 right now, but I could see him coming back, maybe giving it another title run. Because if Bergeron retires, then Krejci can be the captain. And you can still have a little bit of that leadership for maybe another potential run. I've also seen some people say that they want to fire Jim Montgomery. And I say to you, why? He did the same thing basically as Bruce Cassidy, but the only difference is Montgomery had all these wins in the regular season. Last year was the coach, and this next year, it's going to be about the players. Jim Montgomery did his job in the regular season. Yes, there were some questionable line changes and everything in the first round, but you don't get rid of the coach after that type of regular season. Yes, the ending is extremely disappointing and frustrating, but you have to give him at least one more season. And then if he had another really good season, I don't think they're going to have as good of a season as they did this season. But if they have another good season and then they get knocked out the first round, then the conversation can be had about Jim Montgomery's future in Boston. You're going to have to make a lot of moves. I think Tyler Bertuzzi is going to be going elsewhere. He's going to get a big contract from somewhere else. I think Dmitry Orlov is going to end up back in Washington because he said he's open to a reunion with the Capitals. And he said he'll keep his options open with the Bruins, but I wouldn't hold my breath. Garnett Hathaway, I don't know what he's going to do, and I don't really have a feeling either way. If I had to pick right now, I'd say Bruins probably let him walk too. So there's your 3 rentals that you had for the year, and you gave up some picks and everything to go for it, and now it's going to bite you. So when I mean bite you, I mean obviously you went all in this year. It didn't happen. And now those picks are gone for the future. So maybe bite is the bad word. Maybe just come back in a couple years and it might get to you. But we'll see. That's all in the future. Anyways, to kind of wrap up this Bruins thought, Bruins, you had it all in the palm of your hand and you just let it slip through your fingertips. And now you're in for a long and potentially sad offseason with retirements and just thinking what could have been. So there's your Bruins segment. We're going to transition. Let's talk Celtics. Let's just stick with the same season. So Boston Celtics are tied at 2. Last time we recorded, they were down 1-0 in the series. So just a little recap. Celtics blew out the 76ers in game 2, 121-87. They went on the road. Celtics take game 3 in Philly, 114-102. And then Philly ends up winning a 1-point game in overtime by a score of 116-115. So the series is tied at 2. The big thing has been Joe Mazzulla and his timeout usage. So at the end of regulation, the Celtics were up 5 with about a minute left. James Harden hits a running floater in the lane. Celtics go down to miss. Celtics play good defense, force a bad shot, ends up right in the hands of P.J. Tucker, lays it up and in, and one, hits the free throw. Celtics come down, have a chance to win the game. Marcus Smart, wide open 3, misses it, goes to overtime. No Mazzulla timeout. Okay. In overtime, you're down 113-112. Jason Tatum gets away with a questionable non-call of an offensive foul against Tyrese Maxey. Hits a 3, his only 3 that he hit in the game. Tatum was off in the first half, had 1 bucket in the first half, finished with 24 points, but it wasn't a really great 24. It was kind of a quiet 24. Tatum hits the 3 to put the Celtics up to 115-113. Sixers come down. Joel Embiid has the ball in the paint, guarded by Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown comes over and helps, leaves James Harden in the corner. Harden hits a wide open 3. Sixers up 1, about 18 seconds left. Celtics bring the ball down the floor. Jason Tatum has the ball with 5 seconds left in his hand at the top of the key. Doesn't make a move until there's 3 seconds left. Drives to the hole, kicks it out to Smart on the right side. Smart gets the 3 up. You think it's a game winner, but unfortunately Smart doesn't get the shot off in time. So Philadelphia survives with a 116-115 victory. Now, the thing that I was bringing up with Mazzulla is he doesn't call a timeout at the end of regulation and he doesn't call a timeout in overtime. This is what I'll say about Joe Mazzulla and his timeout strategies. I'm okay with the end of regulation. You want to catch the defense sleeping. You don't want to put the defense in a set defense to go up against. Fine. Take your chance going to overtime. In overtime, you should have called that timeout. Call the timeout with 10 seconds left. Draw up a play for Tatum. Have Tatum drive to the hole, which you were in the bonus anyway. And if he gets surrounded, kick the ball out. See if you can get somebody open, whether it's Al Horford or Jaylen Brown or Malcolm Brogdon at the end of the game or Derek White or Marcus Smart if he's open. Whoever's open, get that open person the shot. Plain and simple. The lack of the timeouts is concerning. But for the people that want Joe Mazzulla fired, you're the same people that wanted Ime Udoka fired. And by the way, let's go back to last year. Celtics sweep the Nets in the first round. They go to 7 against Milwaukee after losing game 5 at home, by the way. The Celtics were up with 1 minute left in game 5 against Milwaukee. They blow that. Fortunate enough to get a 46-point game the next game from Jason Tatum in Milwaukee to force a game 7. And then Grant Williams has the game of his life, 7 three-pointers, 27 points, helps lead to a blowout win that gets you to the Eastern Conference Finals. And by the way, in the Eastern Conference Finals under Ime Udoka, Game 7, they almost blew that. Because if Jimmy Butler hits the three-pointer with about 20 seconds left, it's 99-98 Heat, and the Heat have all the momentum, and the Celtics have to score. But you got the defensive rebound, you hit your free throws, and you lucked out. You did luck out. You got to the finals, which it's great that they did, but they lucked out. And then in Game 4 of the Finals, you're up 2-1 against Golden State. You're up at home with about 5 minutes left and you play bad basketball down the stretch. You blow that, you blow the series and a chance at a title. This year with Joe Mazzulla, you take the Hawks to 6 games, which you probably shouldn't have. You probably should have finished them in 5, which I understand. And now you're looking at going at least 6 with Philly, if not 7. But the thing that I want to ask people is, what do you expect? Like the timeouts, you have a legitimate case there in some situations. But what would have happened if Smart hits the 3 in regulation? What happens if Smart hits the 3 in overtime and has 5/10 of a second more to get that shot off. And it goes in. Then we're calling Joe Mazzulla a genius. Okay, maybe genius is a little strong, but we're calling him a very smart head coach. I think Joe Mazzulla is a really good head coach. By the way, people, he's only 34 years old. Al Horford is older than him. Blake Griffin, I think, is older than him, if not the same age, but maybe like a year younger at the most. It's going to take time for him to develop into an elite head coach. I think Joe Mazzulla is a good head coach, and I think he can be elite. Does he have to fix things? Sure, all coaches do. But trust in Joe Mazzulla. He got you to more wins than you had under Ime Udoka a season ago. He got you to the same seeding as Ime Udoka a season ago. Sure, you could have had the one seed, and yeah, you blew that opportunity, but guess what? It ended up working out really well for you because you played Atlanta in the first round instead of Miami. I'll take that matchup 10 out of 10 times. So for the people that are calling for Joe Mazzulla's job, let's pump the brakes a little bit. And we're not going to pretend that this is Orlando or Detroit you're playing in the second round. Philly's a good team. Joel Embiid, James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, PJ Tucker. They have a good, solid team. Should the Celtics beat them? Yes, I still have Celtics in six. I think they take care of business in game five tonight as I'm recording on Tuesday, May 9th. And I think they're going to close it out in game six because they know they can win in Philly. They know Philly has a little bit of that choke in them. And I don't think they're going to want to take it to a game seven in Boston where one game, anything can happen. So I still do think the Celtics take care of it in six. And then they go on to play who I think it's going to be Miami in a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference Finals. But we'll see. I learned my lesson with the Bruins. Don't catch your chickens before they hatch. Take it one game at a time. Play the game on Tuesday night, win that game, and then win on Thursday. Plain and simple. We're going to move on to the Red Sox and then the Patriots. But quick note, shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar, whether you are at the game or, you know, you went to the game, you just want something after for a little treat, head over to A&B Kitchen and Bar, two locations, both in Boston, Mass. And Beverly, Mass. Make sure to check out all their locally crafted meals, their fish and chips, eggplant parm, everything else that they have in the restaurant. It's just all good food. And even if they don't have it at the restaurant, I'm sure they could make it for you, and it would be tremendous. The drinks are good. The atmosphere is great. Bunch of big screen TVs. You'll feel like you're at the game, even though you might not actually be in the TD Garden for this Celtics run. So make sure to tell them that the Legends Boys sent you, A&B Kitchen and Bar. Make sure to go check it out, whether you are in Boston or in Beverly, Massachusetts. All right, Red Sox. The Red Sox are playing really well right now. 21-15. They've won their last two series, won six of their last seven, swept the Toronto Blue Jays, won two out of three against the Philadelphia Phillies. They have a two-game series against the Atlanta Braves coming up. And I got to tell you, it's almost fun to watch Red Sox baseball again. They're playing well. The offense is coming alive. Pitching starting to figure it out. Yes, you've had a couple injuries lately. Garrett Whitlock back to the IL. Hunter Crawford back to the IL. But you're getting James Paxton back in the rotation, which could be good for you. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. You have guys like Masataka Yoshida, who, by the way, in a one-week span, hit .480, two doubles, two home runs, no strikeouts, one walk. Imagine getting up around 25, 26, 27 times in a week, not striking out. That's unheard of in this day of age in the MLB, where home run is king and launch angle is everything and strikeouts are up and everything else. Masataka Yoshida has turned a corner. Yeah, he was injured to start the year. He was getting acclimated to major league pitching and everything. But now he's starting to drive the ball to all fields, and we're starting to see the results of it. And if Yoshida's hitting, that helps make the lineup that much more dangerous. The way Alex Verdugo's hitting, there's your leadoff hitter. So you have Verdugo, you have Yoshida. Justin Turner's been doing fine. Rafi Devers is leading the league in home runs. Like to see his average get up a little bit more, but that's okay. Jaron Duran's finding his swing. Connor Wong is looking really good behind the plate. Hitting is coming a long way, and his defense is really good. He's throwing out base runners left and right. The one thing that I want to bring up is James Paxton, though, because the Red Sox have some legitimate questions. Who could they send to the bullpen? Could they send Nick Pivetta to the bullpen? Could they send Tanner Houck to the bullpen? Could they be so bold as to send a guy like, I don't know, Brian Bayo to the bullpen? What I think is going to happen, here's what I think is going to happen, here's what I think should happen. What I think is going to happen is I think Nick Pivetta is going to get the bump to the bullpen. I think he just, he has the better stuff in the bullpen. I think that as a starter, he's too much, and I use this analogy with him all the time, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you just don't know what you're going to get. What I think they should do, I think they should put Tanner Houck in the bullpen. Nesson had a graphic the other day, and the first time through a lineup against Tanner Houck, batting averages are really low. Like, I'm talking like maybe even below 200, so really good. But then the next two times up, the second time through, lineups are hitting around 350 against Tanner Houck. Third time through, they're hitting about 300. That's really good if you're the opposing team going against Tanner Houck. Second, third time through a lineup, you're timing everything up. You're timing his fastball, timing his slider. So if I'm the Red Sox, I think the logical move is put Houck in the bullpen and let him come up in multi-inning situations. Make him a middle-inning reliever. Have your starters go five, Houck can take the sixth and the seventh. Bridge the way to Chris Martin and Kenley Jansen. Or John Schreiber and Kenley Jansen. However you want to do it. Or if you want to just get through that sixth inning and then have the bridge be Schreiber, Martin, Jansen. Jensen, sorry. Kenley Jansen. I said it wrong the second time. It's been a long day, folks, so bear with me. But you have options. Do what's best for this ball club, because this ball club is better than we expect, people. I could totally change my tune in about a month or so. But right now, ride the wave. Because guess what? The Celtics run's going to end at some point, whether it's the Eastern Conference semifinals, the Eastern Conference finals, or hopefully the NBA finals with a championship. And then Patriots minicamp doesn't start for a couple months. The Red Sox are going to be the only sport that you get of the four major sports you're going to be able to watch for the next couple months. So hopefully they continue this good pace of play. And hopefully they don't ruin it for us. They're finding ways to win series. When you win most of your series, they're right in line for a playoff spot. MLB.com came out with their power rankings. They have the Red Sox sixth in the MLB. And some of the teams that are on that list, they've beaten in series. I think the Angels were on there, beat them in the series. The Twins were on there, beat them in the series. Orioles were on there, beat them early on in the series. The Rays are in there. I know they got swept by the Rays. The Rays are just playing. They're playing unbelievable baseball. They're playing 800 baseball. But get in tune with this Red Sox team if you have not yet. Because this team can be a lot of fun to watch. If you're into that, that is. All right. Let's move into the Patriots real quick, and then I'll kind of wrap this mini episode up, and then we'll be back next week. Patriots, their schedule is coming out officially on Thursday, so we know who they're going to play. We know their opponents. We just don't know the actual dates. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through, and I'm going to give my way too early Patriots regular season prediction for wins and losses. They have 9 games at home, 8 on the road. So I'm just going to read all the games, and I'm just going to say whether it's a win or loss, and then at the end, do the quick math. That'll be my final season record. All right. Home against the Buffalo Bills. I'm giving that a loss. The Bills just own the Patriots right now. They've won, I think, 5 of their last 6 matchups. The only exception was that snowball game in 2021. The Patriots ran through the ball 3 times and ran it every other time. So I'm going to go with a loss there. Colts, I'm going with a win. Anthony Richardson, rookie quarterback. The Colts just can't seem to figure it out. Give me a win at home for the Patriots against the Colts. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're going to... The weird thing is the Patriots defense weirdly matches up well with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense, but I think the Chiefs offense is just going to do too much in that game. So I'm going a loss there. Chargers, I'm going with a surprising win. I think the Chargers are starting to become for real, but I have questions about that defense, and I have questions about Justin Herbert getting it done in crunch time. So give me a win for the Patriots there. Miami Dolphins at home. Give me a win. Patriots proved that they can beat the Dolphins at home. Granted, it was with a couple backup quarterbacks. I know Tua is going to be back, but I think the Patriots are getting better on defense, and I think their offense isn't going to be as putrid. So I think they find a way to win that game. The New Orleans Saints, I'm going to give that a win. Derek Carr there doesn't scare me. Alvin Kamara is a really good running back, but the Saints are battling in a really weak division in the NFC South. So I'm going to go a win there. This is a tough one. The Jets. Aaron Rodgers is there now. They have a legit quarterback. Give me a win. Give me a win at home. I think they narrowly find a way to beat Aaron Rodgers in Foxborough. So give me a win there. Eagles, give me a loss. That defense is becoming better and better. They're taking all the Georgia players and you know, getting better on defense. Jalen Hurts, great quarterback. A.J. Brown, really good wide receiver. They have a really good offensive and defensive line. So give me a loss for the Patriots there. And then give me a win against the Commanders. I think the Commanders, they were starting to go in the right direction, but I think they're heading back down the wrong direction. They're not going to exercise a fifth-year option on Chase Young, so that just goes to show the types of decisions they're making. So give me a win against the Commanders. Okay, the away games. At the Bills, give me another loss. I think Buffalo sweeps the season series. I think Buffalo right now is just too talented for New England, and I want to see until I see the Patriots beat the Bills and beat them convincingly, I'm giving the Bills the upper hand. So Bills win that game, Patriots lose. At the Cowboys, give me a loss there. Another high-powered offense. Dak Prescott, if he's healthy, one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Tony Pollard, really good running back. Have some good receivers. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup. So give me a loss there. Excuse me. Denver Broncos. Give me a win. I don't buy into Russell Wilson. I think he's getting older. I think the Broncos, yeah, it's in Denver. The Patriots haven't done well in Denver in the past, but I think this is a different Broncos team, and they're just on the wrong side of a tough AFC West division. So give me a win there. Las Vegas Raiders, give me a win. I think they're going to avenge last year's loss with the lateral from Jacoby Myers, who's now in Vegas, oddly enough. But I think they get it done. I don't think the Raiders are as good as advertised, and wouldn't surprise me if we saw Josh McDaniels on the chopping block after this upcoming season with the Raiders. So give me a win there. I think right now I have them at 8-5. Dolphins on the road, give me a loss. I mean, that's just the annual Patriots lose in Miami game. Weird things happen in Miami, so give me a loss there. Giants. I'm going to say a win against the Giants. I think Daniel Jones will make some plays. I think Saquon Barkley is a tough running back, but I think the Giants are a very well-coached team with Brian Daboll there, but I don't think they're going to have the same success as they did in 2022. I think they were just kind of riding the high of a new coach and just winning right away, but I think the Patriots are going to find a way to get it done against the Giants. So give me a win against the Giants. Give me a loss against the Jets, because I think that this is the year the Jets finally find a way to beat the Patriots, at least in one. New quarterback. It's a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's a guy that can actually complete passes and not Zach Wilson running your team or an older Joe Flacco or Mike White or whoever it is. So give me a loss to the Jets on the road. And then give me a win against the Steelers. I know they made a little bit of a run at the end of the 2022 season, but I think the Patriots are just better, and I think they're still trying to find answers. I don't buy Kenny Pickett at quarterback. But Mike Tomlin knows how to get his team fired up. And I think especially if this is an early season matchup, I think the Patriots will have the upper hand. So just to go over it. So 0-1, 1-1, 1-2, 2-2, 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, 5-3, 6-3 at home. And then 6-4, 6-5, 7-5, 8-5, 8-6, 9-6, 9-7. I got the Patriots going 10-7. And I think that's a very fair assessment. I think their absolute ceiling is 12-5. I think that's the most they could hit. I think 11-6 could be pushing it a little bit. And I think the floor is about 6-11 or 7-10. But again, they keep adding on defense. They added Christian Gonzalez in the draft, and they added some other players in the draft. They improved their special teams a ton. Guys like Chris Horde now in the mix, and some of these rookies, Matthew Slater coming back. And guess what, people? Bill O'Brien is going to make a difference in the Patriots offense. There's already reports going around that Bill O'Brien's already making a difference. And the receivers in the offense knows that if they screw up a play, they're going to be on the sidelines watching for who knows how long. So there's a lot of optimism with this Patriots season. Do I think they're going to add anything more at this point? No. I think what we have is going forward. I think they could have gotten another receiver. I still think they could have gotten a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, but it's just not going to happen. So you have to roll forward. And guess what? There's still some good, talented players that you add to the offense. James Robinson in the backfield, replacing Damian Harris. I think that could be even be a little bit of an upgrade potentially. Juju Smith-Schuster. I think a little bit of an upgrade over Jacoby Myers, especially with the yards after the catch factor. Mike Gesicki is a guy that plays more like a wide receiver than a tight end. He's very athletic, very good red zone threat. Match him up with Hunter Henry, two really good red zone threats. Still have Ramondre Stevenson coming back. And I think Mac Jones is going to have a much better year than he did in 2022. And if he doesn't, and I've said this to all my friends, he doesn't have a good 2023, then you can have the discussion about moving on from him. Because it'll have been 3 years and two of them have been bad, which is fine with me. But if he has a really good year and it's two out of three really good years, then you can move forward with him at least for the next couple of years. So again, 10-7 record for the Patriots, I think is realistic, and you can put that on the team. And that's pretty much all I got for this week. So just to recap, Bruins going to have a long offseason, a lot of question marks. Red Sox are playing well right now. Celtics can hopefully finish this series against Philly and move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And the Patriots could have a 10-7 record if everything falls right and everything goes how I think it should. Remember to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Again, make sure to check out studentunionsports.com to check out everything that they are doing from, again, the daily blogs that are put out by guys like Andrew Diaz to all of the podcasts that are out, Yellow Card Podcast, The Chasers Podcast, Is It Saturday Yet?, and all the other podcasts on the network. Make sure to go show them some love. Follow us on Twitter at Lingo Legends and make sure to listen in next week because we do have a guest lined up. Hopefully he will show up and hopefully he'll have a good time. He's a big part of the Red Sox community and we're going to be able to talk some Red Sox, maybe even some Celtics with him, maybe even some other Boston sports, but we'll see. But if nothing else, this is Alan Nahegan for episode 221 signing off. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 222. Yes, sir.